Sam's room was at the other end of the motel from the one that Bobby had gotten for Dean. At the time of their arrival at the establishment, Dean had been relieved to be out of the hospital and hadn't stopped to think about the reasons why some sort of mythical god made flesh was hanging out at some crappy dive. When he'd gotten a little better, he'd just been preoccupied with trying to keep himself from killing Hades until after they were done dealing with the whole angel-demon revolution via kidnapping thing. Now that he thought about it, there really shouldn't be any damn reason for Hades to get a crappy room at a crappy motel or for him to be driving around in some beat-up old clunker. Even if Dean went with the theory that the supernatural powers that Hades had been throwing around didn't include teleportation, a guy that was commanding the likes of Crowley around had to have the ability to get a nicer rig. More concerning was that Dean hadn't even noticed that Hades hadn't exactly been living in style, despite lording it over one very rich demon. Dean would say it was the stress getting to him, but he knew better. He'd been under severe stress since he was 4. He had been trained to notice details because missing a detail in a fight was what made the difference between a live hunter and a dead one. There was no way that he had just missed those things because his mind was busy with its homicidal rage. That meant that Sam had been using his nifty powers on Dean. And the closer that Dean got to the other end of the motel, the more pissed that he got about that, because he was going to beat Sam bloody over this one. Right after he hugged him and held him and kissed those stupid lips since... Okay, so he was going to go straight for the ass-kicking. It would be better that way. They could regroup and bond over beers and hospital painkillers. "You have no right," Sam's voice echoed in the parking lot, and Dean saw the manager pull the shade shut to the main office. It was a good omen that the manager didn't care, because Dean was fairly certain that whatever fight was going on, they didn't want the police showing up. Sometimes it paid to stay at the places with questionable reputations. On the other hand, the sound of Sam yelling meant that Dean was probably going to have to postpone his ass-kicking activities. Putting a little more energy into his walk, he cleared the corner of the building that was obstructing his view. Sam was standing on the cracked and crumbling asphalt of the parking lot. He was glaring at Castiel, who was standing mere inches from him. Bobby and Jess were perched on the hood of Sam's purloined and rusty Buick, and Dean felt hope well up within him at the sight. If Sam was yelling at Cass, then there was a good chance that his brother place-pudding plans were back on the horizon. "What is it?" Castiel asked calmly as he waved a necklace in front of Sam's face. "A protection charm," Sam bit out. "It is not like any protection charm that I've seen before." "Well, I guess that you haven't seen everything now, have you? But what you have done is left the Braydens unprotected. Do you truly think that they deserve that? Or do you trust that they will be guarded and watched over by your oh-so-helpful brethren?" Dean winced a little at that, because it was a low blow even if Sam was on high moral ground. It was just plain nasty when he wasn't, and was instead running around messing with people's heads. Castiel was opening his mouth to reply when his eyes settled on Dean. "Perhaps we should consult Dean on the matter. They were, after all, his family." Dean fought not to look surprised at Castiel's statement. Cass could apparently put in a few digs himself. "Actually, I think that I don't really care about some damn charm," Dean said as he got up close to the both of them. "You don't?" Cass sounded confused. "No," Dean said simply, before he swung his fist up and clocked Sam one. And, okay, that wasn't exactly what he had planned. There had been actual talking and confrontation involved before the fists started flying. But that wasn't how it seemed to be going, and it was a little too late to ask for a do-over. Then again, it was probably better that Dean didn't try talking. The whole discussion thing didn't work out all that well for him all that often. Sam would tell him that was because he didn't ever practice the skills. He would say that not talking and suppressing stuff was really unhealthy, so when anything did come out, it didn't come out in a good way and created more havoc. Sam, though, didn't have any room to make that argument at the moment, and Dean was hankering for a fight. Only Sam wasn't hitting back. He was just standing there, trying to look calm and sympathetic. But now that Dean was looking, he could see the hurt in Sam's face that had nothing at all to do with the pain that he had to be in before he was on the receiving end of Dean's right hook. "Dean," Sam began. And Dean punched him again. Jess was making some sort of noise, and Bobby was yelling at Dean, but they weren't stopping him, so he just hit Sam a third time, and Dean got to see blood start to drip out of Sam's nose to join the blood welling up from the cut that he'd put on Sam's lips. The next thing that Dean knew, he had his fists wrapped up in Sam's shirt, and his tongue was pushing past those lips to lick at the inside of Sam's mouth. Sam pushed gently back at him as if trying to object, but only because it was expected of him, not because he wanted to. Dean had experience with that sort of reaction. He'd been around enough to know the difference between an actual rejection and a polite one. Sam was being polite. Dean didn't want Sam to be polite. He wanted him to be an ass, because Dean was pissed at Sam, and he wanted to be absolutely righteous in his anger. And he was going to get on that just as soon as he quit sucking on Sam's tongue. Sam whimpered a little bit and pushed at Dean again, but this time he was pushing with his tongue, and it was just trying to get farther into Dean's mouth. Dean pulled back to nip reprovingly at Sam's bottom lip to remind Sammy of who was in charge of the kissing, and then shoved their mouths back together with more vigor. The coppery taste of blood from the split lip that Dean had bestowed upon his brother had barely been processed by Dean's now lascivious tongue when a hand fastened itself none too gently on his shoulder and yanked him away from his brother. Dean vaguely heard Bobby shouting and Jess carrying on and Cass, well, being eerily calm and Cass-like. And his fucking cock was pressing against the inside of his pants like it thought it could pop out from sheer pressure. Sam's voice started entering the fray of yelling voices, and Dean glanced over at him to see him trying to push his way past a very irate-looking Bobby to get to Dean. "You stay the hell away from me," Dean snapped when Sam succeeded in pushing past Bobby and began to move in Dean's direction. Sam's face fell, and hurt filled his features. "Dean."
"Don't. I don't want to hear it. Any of it. You get out of here, and you just get away from me,"
Dean shouted as he stumbled back towards his room. There was a large part of him that was busy pointing out what a bad idea separating from Sam always turned out to be. It was also pointing out that his last words to his brother were fairly immature. The problem was that there was an even larger part of him that didn't want to deal with the memories that he'd just made. Dean made it back to his room without turning backwards or trying to listen to the words being spoken behind him. Once he closed the door, he flopped down on his still-unmade bed. He did not want to think about anything. If he'd still been in possession of any actual alcohol, he'd be downing it as fast as possible. But he had finished what he had left the previous night, and his head was simultaneously pounding from his residual hangover and spinning from what had just happened. What he had just done was... Fuck, Dean cursed as he slammed his fist into the lumpy and hard mattress. He didn't care that he was acting childishly. It was a far sight better than acting like an incestuous pervert. Or, he guessed, an abusive, incestuous pervert. The door to the room opened and closed. Dean did not look up to see who was coming in, but the sound that the footsteps made in the room told him that it was Bobby. The older man sat down on the edge of the mattress next to Dean, but Dean refused to look at Bobby. He just did not want to know what his substitute father was thinking.
"Sam took off in that monstrosity of a car of his," Bobby stated flatly.
Dean grunted in response.
"Jess went with him, in case you were interested." Called us all a bunch of morons and said she'd call as soon as they settled somewhere. It'll save us some money, I guess. I can just stay here with your sorry ass instead of camping out in her room, feeling 10 kinds of uncomfortable. She'll be safe enough with Sam, Dean commented. Yeah, Bobby agreed, assuming the little asshole doesn't decide to screw with her head. Dean snorted a little in amusement. Big asshole, he corrected. Yeah, well, I've always had a soft spot for you boys. I like to cut slack when I can. But I guess I don't need to be telling you anything about Sam and having weaknesses for him. Dean winced. That was a low blow, Bobby. Ain't nothing else that gets through to you when you're like this. Besides, I'm mad as a hornet at your brother right now, and you sent him packing. Dean didn't say anything in response to that. I am uncertain whether I am more surprised at you and your brother's consistent stupidity or the fact that you remain alive in spite of it, Castiel intoned. Dean finally propped himself up on his elbows just enough to glare at the angel. Dude, you were just in the parking lot. There are these things that we call doors. I am aware of them. I fail to see what this has to do with your poor handling of the situation with Sam, Castiel said. Dean groaned and flopped back down on the bed. I don't know why I kissed him, okay? It was a thing. A thing? Bobby almost squeaked, and any other time Dean would have found the tone funny. Dean turned his head to glare at Bobby, or rather Bobby's ass, as Bobby was still sitting perfectly upright on the bed. Yeah, a thing, Dean drawled out slowly, daring Bobby to contradict his choice of words. Let me get this straight. You start playing tonsil hockey with your brother, and the next thing I know, I've got a backlog of information just creeping into my skull that tells me it's really Sam in there, and I have to pull you off of him before I get a peep show I'd rather not see, and you call that a thing. Bobby's words made it seem so much worse than... Okay, Dean could admit that it really did sound that bad. Dean shrugged in reply. He figured it lost some of its eloquence given that he was still flat on his back, but he didn't care all that much. We should really be more concerned about Dean sending Sam away. He is vulnerable in this state. Vulnerable? Dean rasped in incredulity as he finally came up off the bed and all the way onto his feet. The guy was freaking causing a thunderstorm a few days ago and was playing demon electrician at Bobby's before that. I don't think he's very vulnerable. He wasn't causing the storm, merely harnessing its power into a localized area. His powers are not that great. And I was not speaking about Sam. I was speaking about you. Not that great. Wait, you know something about these powers and you didn't share? Dean asked. I spoke to Chuck earlier. He, for obvious reasons, feels uncomfortable speaking with you about what he has seen. It was what I was attempting to speak with Sam about earlier. Chuck saw a fancy necklace at Lisa's. Dean's face showed his skepticism. Castiel shifted his weight ever so slightly and almost looked abashed. No, I found it earlier. Sam was very persuasive in changing the nature of our discourse. I am growing tired of him interfering with my host's brain. Can we go back to the part where Dean is in danger? Bobby asked. No, we cannot do that. That subject is most emphatically not open for discussion, Dean stated as he stared meaningfully at Castiel. Cass ignored him. Sam has taken Jessica with him. It is doubtful that he has let his minions in on his scheme, so their protection efforts are likely not encompassing Dean at the moment, Castiel told Bobby. Dean's a hunter. He doesn't need... Bobby trailed off, and Dean looked away, unwilling to see the look of comprehension filling in on the other man's face. Oh, Bobby said after a moment. Somebody shoot me, Dean muttered. That would be highly inadvisable in a myriad of ways,
Castiel informed him.
How come I didn't see this before?
Bobby asked. Most likely because Sam was influencing you not to think of it, as he was Dean. Anger welled up again on Dean's insides, and the extreme confusion of trying to swallow his baby brother's tonsils, his anger over what Sam had been doing had sort of drifted to the back of his brain. Bobby muttered something under his breath, and Dean felt a rush of purely juvenile satisfaction that Sam was now officially in deeper shit with Bobby than Dean was. Fucking with people's minds was obviously a greater sin than a little homosexual incestual kissing.
So what else did Chuck have to say?
Dean asked, more than willing to pursue all the intricacies of Sam's newfound and abused power, rather than his own confusing desire to have Sammy all to himself in a very weird way. He confirmed that your relationship with Sam should mitigate the negative impacts that his powers are having on him. Chuck also asked that you send him some of the good stuff as payment for having to see that shit. Castiel spoke so calmly that Dean was almost able to believe that Cass wasn't talking about what he thought the angel was talking about. Unfortunately, Bobby wasn't in the mood to ignore the implications of what relationship meant.
Wait now. You're saying that the reason I'm all of a sudden in control of my faculties is because Dean decided that he was going to play kissy face with his brother?
No, Castiel answered. Dean blew out a relieved sigh, but regretted it an instant later. You have always been in control of your faculties. You were just being manipulated. When Dean ingested some of Sam's blood, it created the first link of power between them. I believe that the shock of this transfer is what caused Sam's influence on you to break.
He drank his blood.
Bobby's voice sounded really strained. Shrewd eyes turned to Dean a second later, and Bobby repeated his question directly.
You drank his blood?
No, there was... It was just from his lip, Dean protested. It wasn't like I was, you know, getting my vampire on.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised that it worked. It was not exactly the required substance of ingestion, Castiel added.
Right, well... I don't think that you need to worry about that. I mean, I don't think that Sam is carrying around any pomegranates with him.
Dean snapped while he willed his skin to not show how embarrassed he was by the whole thing. There was silence in the room for a while before Bobby's disbelieving voice cut through the air.
Tell me you ain't that stupid. You know, I'm getting really tired of people calling me that. Like, supremely tired of it. Dean said warily.
Cass cleared his throat before speaking.
Dean, you are aware of how legend says Hades and Persephone became tied together?
Dude, of course I do. I just mentioned it, remember?
Dean snapped, irritated that on top of being called stupid, there was an angel in the room being exactly that, and Bobby wasn't calling Cass on it.
And you recall there being great forests of trees in hell?
Cass prompted. Dean rolled his eyes and glared because the obvious answer to that was a big fat no.
So if one was to ignore the pomegranate part and focus on the seed part...
Cass trailed off, for once looking uncomfortable. For a moment, Dean was sort of impressed that Castiel hadn't lost all of his gained humanity when he'd been brought back to life. Then he realized what exactly it was that Cass was intimating.
Fuck, Dean muttered as he rubbed a hand across his face.
Technically, I believe that the term would be...
He knows what the term would be,
Bobby quickly interrupted, his face red under his beard.
I need a drink, Dean stated as he moved towards the door. I think I'll join you, Bobby said as he followed.
Dean stopped at the door and lifted an inquiring eyebrow at Castiel. I need a liquor store. If you need me, I'll be in Boise.
Boise? Why?
Castiel disappeared before Dean could finish his sentence. Bobby gave Dean a little shove.
Get your gay ass moving.
Dean moved, but he was going to make Bobby buy the first drink for that one.
You don't have to keep watching me, you know. I'm not going to run off and leave.
Sam's voice was irritated when he spoke, but Jess ignored it.
Of course you will. Running is what you do. It's apparently a family trait.
Hey, Dean was... is... he has a right to be upset and confused.
Jess quirked an eyebrow at her ex-lover.
It's really sort of sweet the way you keep defending him. I mean, if you had hit me, the last thing I'd have ever let you do was make out with me right afterwards.
Yeah, well, you never played God with my mind, Sam mumbled.
I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I just... Dean's my whole world. He's always been... and Bobby was a better father than my own was. I just didn't want them to have to deal with this. I thought I could spare them from having to clean up after me.
Only now they both know, so it was all for nothing.
Jess grinned a little at that.
Yeah, well, I sort of helped things along with Dean.
What? Sam's face was a mixture of disbelief and betrayal.
Oh, don't look at me like that. I told you that I was going to find a way to tell him if you didn't,
Jess reminded him.
You told him? Sam squeaked.
Well, not exactly. Castiel told him, I think. I mean, I suggested that he find a non-dead vessel, and then the next day Dean's hitting you and sucking your balls out through your throat, so I'm guessing that means that Angel guy was successful.
Okay, first, that was gross. Secondly, I can't believe you did that to me.
I know. I mean, what kind of jilted ex-girlfriend am I? Sneaking around your manipulative and power-hungry back to tell on you to your big, bad brother.
Dean's not bad, Sam protested.
Jess wondered briefly if she could dislocate something by rolling her eyes too hard too often.
Did that trip to hell cause you to develop some sort of disorder where you only listen to one thing at a time? Because really, that last sentence was all about reprimanding you for doing something bad.
But Dean knows, Sam whined. Jess felt her eyebrows try to remove themselves from her forehead.
Are you high? You're acting like a teenager. A whiny, pimply teenager who can't take responsibility for anything.
Sam flushed and looked down at his feet.
I get kind of emotionally out of control when I use too much power.
Was that a question? Jess stated, and she was horrified that talking to Sam was actually turning her into her mother. Sam huffed and gave her a half-hearted glare.
I may have tried to influence too many people at once today. Forcing minds isn't like causing electrical surges or making a storm worse. The more I try to control other beings, the more that I lose control over myself, he admitted softly.
And you've been keeping Crowley on a leash while simultaneously keeping Dean and Bobby misdirected, Jess filled in for him.
Sam nodded. I think that's why you were able to figure it out. I mean, no offense, but both Dean and Bobby know me better. But with Cass showing up, and you, and then the whole demon fight.
That is why you need Dean. Why you should have told him in the first place, and why you should be going back to him right now.
No, Jess. That's why I can't involve him. He deserves better than this. I've been his responsibility since he was 4 years old. Dean will do this just because he has to do it.
Yeah? Well, forgive me for saying it, but I don't care. Because you're going to a scary place here, Sam. You're not thinking right. The man I knew, the man that I fell in love with and thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, he wouldn't be doing this. You need somebody to help you. And given what you can do with your mind, the world needs you to have that somebody too.
I can't do that to Dean, Dean isn't more important than the rest of the world.
Well, he is to me, Sam roared as he threw a pillow across the room. Shaking, he covered his face with his hands and sat down on the edge of the bed.
He is to me, he repeated softly.
Jess sighed and went to sit next to Sam. She slid a hand along his shoulders and gently tugged so that he could rest his head against her own shoulder. His much larger body had to bend a lot to make the contact, but he didn't complain. Jess figured that was just as much a sign as anything that Sam wasn't in the right state of mind.
Why don't you tell me about it?
What, hell? Not much to tell. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. I mean, I wasn't the one being tortured, so I just had to find my way out past all of the demons torturing souls that I couldn't help.
When they realized that I wasn't just a soul, that I actually had a body, there was a feeding frenzy while they tried to possess me, but they couldn't because my warding was still intact.
Sam paused and shifted a bit so that his head could rest more comfortably against her.
They aren't physical, not really. But after a while, there were so many of them that I couldn't move. It was like I was a character being suffocated in a movie, and the soundtrack was the screams of other people. So I pushed, and the next thing I knew, I had demons worshipping me, trying to win my regard. It was worse than seeing the torture, you know? That all these evil things were trying to get on my good side. I was like an idol to them.
But you got out, Jess reminded him.
Yeah, I got out. But not before they started calling me Hades. They thought that I was the gatekeeper that could let them out. And I swore that I was going to be the one to keep them in. I was going to send as many of them back down there as possible. But when I got out, I found that my power wasn't exactly unlimited. So I decided to enlist Crowley's help, whether he wanted to give it or not. I figured I'd focus on keeping the ones that were already in hell there, for starters. I didn't realize that task alone was more than I could handle.
And the thing with Dean? Jess prompted after a moment of silence. Sam shifted his head off her shoulder and straightened back up into a normal seated posture. He studied his thumbnail for a long moment and did not answer.
Sam? I always knew. I think that I knew before I went down there. Before I even left for college.
Oh. I'm not sure that I knew what it was back then, but I knew that there was something wrong there. I didn't have to cut ties with Dean, you know? I wanted to get away from hunting. I wanted to get away from my father and the life that he'd raised us in. But Dean would have let me have that. And normal people, they talk to their brothers when they call.
You never told me that Dean was calling.
Sam's lips twisted in a hollow facsimile of a smile.
He quit trying before you and I even met. I made him do that. I was horrible to him. I made him feel like he was the one that had done something wrong, simply because he chose to keep hunting, because he wanted to be there for our dad, because he wanted a family, and I punished him for that.
I'm sure Dean doesn't see it that way, Jess comforted.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he does. At least he does now.
Do you know what I told him? I told him that I didn't see family the way that he did. And God help me, I don't. I've always wanted things from Dean that I shouldn't.
Jess smiled a little. Come on, Sam. Always. You had a long stretch of years when you were just a kid.
Sam didn't return her smile.
And I made Dean be everything to me then. I figured out how to get him to give me what I wanted. And I just kept taking. I never stopped, and when he asked for me to give something back, I wouldn't do it. Fuck, Jess. It even had to be my idea and my quest to go hunting with him again.
Jess sighed and pulled her hand away.
Well, now, I guess I can see where you feel like everything is your fault.
I agree completely. You're single-handedly responsible for every bad thing that has ever happened in the world, and I think that stopping the apocalypse in no way mitigates any selfish desires that you have.
Jess,
she held up a hand to silence him. Look, until recently, you weren't forcing Dean to do anything. It takes two people to have a relationship, Sam, and he could have stopped it if he wanted. Don't tell me that he couldn't have because your brother is scary stubborn and just a little mean.
He tried. I wouldn't let him.
Bullshit. He didn't want you to let him.
Why are you fighting so hard for this?
Sam asked her.
Because I was a comparative literature major, and I'm a California free spirit. I like happy endings, Sam. If I was black and white about the way I see the world, I would never have cut you the slack that I did.
I've met a lot of free spirits. The majority of them wouldn't advocate making the world a better place through fraternal nookie, Sam pointed out.
Jess just grinned at him. Well, I'm one in a million.
Walking the dog was an experience that should have been normal. Dean was sure that anybody else would find it mundane. Then again, he didn't know that many people who actually owned a dog Gigantor's size. One thing Dean was certain of, his dog had gas as bad as said dog's namesake. Stupid Sam and his stupid large body and stupid little grin that made Dean want to... Dean cleared his throat and tugged on Gigantor's leash, tugging the dog away from whatever it was that he had found so interesting to sniff. The giant beast disagreed with moving on and started pulling on his end of the lead, trying to drag Dean back to the area he had been sniffing at.
Ah, come on, man. Don't make me watch that dude on Animal Planet,
Dean complained as he tugged on the leash harder. And Sam thinks you're a butch alpha male. Dean spun around to stare at Jess's amused face.
I know. You're surprised that you didn't hear me come up to you. You're the big, fearless hunter who should have heard the ditzy Californian blonde approaching.
Dean shrugged a little because, yeah, he'd been thinking that, but he wasn't exactly comfortable with sharing those sorts of thoughts out loud.
Look, I convinced Sam that hanging out in a rat-infested motel room 20 miles away wasn't a good idea and dragged his ass back here. But now that we've actually arrived, he isn't much with getting out of that yellow monstrosity of a car. So I figure if he won't get out to talk to you, I'm going to have to send you in. So give me the dog and go knock some sense into him, Jess said as she held out an imperious hand.
Dean stared at her open palm for a while and wondered if she'd even breathed during her little monologue. Jess snorted and wiggled her fingers in what Dean assumed was impatience. He begrudgingly handed the leash over to her and grunted in irritation at his dog when the lumbering oaf trotted right up to Jess and started wagging his stupid gigantic tail at her. Unfaithful mongrel. Dean began to stalk away from the pair when Jess's light hand touched his arm. He stopped and arched an inquiring, yet glaring, eyebrow at her.
You might want to take these, she said as she handed him a set of keys. I wasn't sure if Sam was actually going to lock himself in the car, and it might be a little awkward for you to keep picking the lock and having him shut it again.
And it won't be if I use a key and he does the same thing?
Dean asked, even as his hand closed over the keys.
Well, it won't look as funny, Jess told him before jogging off back the way that Dean had just come from.
Gigantor followed happily after her, and Dean contented himself with thinking that at least the dog was going to be exhausted by the end of it. Keys in hand, Dean stalked right up to the car. The windows were cracked open, and Sam was still sitting in the passenger seat. His face was set in his classic sulking pout, and he was glaring at the glove compartment like it was about to let loose a whole clan of fairies. The driver's side door was locked, as Jess had predicted, but Sam didn't reach over and slap the lock back down when Dean popped it open. Sam, in fact, didn't even glance in Dean's direction, neither when the door cracked open, nor when Dean slid into the seat and closed the door.
"Wow, this is quite the car you've got here. I can see the appeal. How long it take you to find a ride that smells like rotten bananas, anyway?"
Dean asked as he shifted on the lumpy seat.
The car was a hunk of junk. Seriously, he wasn't even sure how the car seat could get lumpy in the first place.
Sam reached out a hand and traced the handle to the glove compartment.
"You going to hit me again?" he mumbled softly.
"Don't know. Maybe. Probably not until we're out of the car, though. She's not the Impala, but I think that she smells like she's been through enough already, without adding bloodstains to the upholstery." Sam smirked a little and huffed out a breath that Dean knew was supposed to be a laugh, but he knew Sam well enough to realize that it wasn't.
"You going to try to kiss me again?" Sam asked, even quieter.
And hell, Dean would like very much to say no to that, but the instant that the query was out of Sam's mouth, Dean's mind was all for the Technicolor replay of their last kiss. He could still feel Sam's warm body pressed up against his, and he could still remember Sam's taste. His dick, traitor that it was, perked up a little bit at the memory, and overall, Dean couldn't say that he wasn't going to kiss Sam without there being the distinct possibility of him turning into a liar. Of course, he was still the older brother in this situation. He was always going to be the older brother, and there was an errant little brother that needed his course corrected before they tackled the tricky question of how much fraternal nookie was going to happen.
"You going to try to make me your mind bitch again?" Dean asked in retaliation.
Sam harumphed a little and slumped down further in the passenger seat.
"I didn't make you my bitch. I just dicked around with my brain like a giant douche,"
Dean interrupted.
"It was for your own good."
"Seriously, that's your defense.
Why didn't you just give me a lobotomy while you were at it, huh? I'd be less likely to run around hunting monsters if I was some docile little puppy following Lisa around."
"It wasn't like that," Sam protested.
"Then what was it like, Sam? Tell me, because I'm not seeing anything here other than you being the same spoiled brat that ran away from home. And if it wasn't enough that you did it to me, you had to go and do it to Bobby, too."
You're making it sound like I'm the villain here. I'm not, you know. Maybe I didn't make all the right choices, but it wasn't like I was going around hurting people, either. I was trying to protect you, both of you.
Did you think that Crowley just decided to give back Bobby's soul out of the goodness of his heart or the hardness of his cock?
Sam's voice was tense and defensive, and overall so much like Sam that part of Dean eased with the knowledge that he was at least back in familiar territory.
"First off, I thought you learned your lesson about good intentions. Secondly, never, ever mention Crowley's dick to me again. I just don't want to know, okay?"
"Yeah, okay, Dean. Would you rather talk about your cock? Because it isn't going to go away, you know."
"I'm not talking to you about that right now. Right now, we're talking about how you need to stop playing around with people's brains."
Dean tried to be stern in his reproach, even though part of him wanted to gibber at the mere thought of what Sam had just said, and an equal part wanted to discuss the subject of his cock by engaging in bodily interaction.
"I can't play around with people's brains, Dean. I can only influence those who've been dead. And outside of our immediate circle, there aren't that many people that fit the bill. The rest are all ghosts or demons, and I don't exactly feel sorry for them."
Dean sighed and rubbed a thumb against his eyebrow.
"Sam, you know that isn't what I'm saying. Even playing around with demons can be a bad idea. Don't you get that?"
Sam stared out the windshield in silence. His face was stony and a little pissed off. He turned angry eyes at Dean, but as soon as they focused on his brother's face, they dropped to stare at the console instead.
"Yeah, I get that."
Dean felt his eyebrows arch in surprise.
"You do?"
Sam nodded, but didn't look back up.
"Sammy?"
Dean asked, but he didn't reach out to force his brother's gaze back to his face. He didn't exactly trust himself when it came to touching Sam at the moment. Hazel Eyes slid back up to look at Dean's face after another few minutes of silence, and Dean was surprised to see tears in them. Regardless of everything that Dean might have teased Sam about, they were both Winchesters. They didn't do tears except in dire, hopeless situations. While the current situation was fucked six ways to Sunday, it certainly wasn't on par with half of the crap that they'd gone through.
"I get it, Dean. I do. I just get around you and I... God, Jess would be kicking my ass right now. We talked about this, you know? She read me the riot act about what I'd been doing and I promised that I'd, you know, I'd get better."
"Look, you can't get better without help. I know that sounds like a load of crap coming from me, but I know a thing or two about trying to go through things alone. Guess what? It doesn't work. It didn't work for me with Hal, and I almost screwed the pooch with Michael. And let's not forget your little quest with Ruby the Wonder Demon, and your questionable beverage choices."
"Dean."
"No, just no, Sammy. You need to pull your head out of your ass, and you're going to need help doing it. You've got some people out there that want to help you do it. Problem is, they've all been dead at some point, so you're going to have to lay off the mojo with them."
"I get that,"
Sam agreed quietly.
"But,"
Dean prompted,
"but it's hard to do without you."
"Dude, I'm right here, not going anywhere."
"Pissed, but it wouldn't be the first time that I've had to drag your stupid ass out of trouble."
"No."
Sam's protest caught Dean a bit off guard. Not that it should have, given how contrary and unreasonable Sam had been throughout their childhood.
"Excuse me?"
"Dean, you can't. I won't let you... You can't want that, and I won't... I can't, you... No."
"Great. Well, why don't you try that sentence again, and in English this time?"
Sam's face turned white, then red, then white with red splotches all over it. It wasn't the most attractive of looks on him.
"I won't let you do that to yourself,"
Sam enunciated slowly.
"Drag my little brother's ass out of trouble? Been doing that a long time, Sammy. You haven't been able to stop me yet. In fact, it's kind of my job,"
Dean pointed out.
"Great," Sam huffed. "Now not only do I feel like a giant pervert, I feel like a John."
Dean, to his chagrin, seriously had a moment where he wondered what their father had to do with anything, before he realized what Sam was actually saying.
"Okay, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing I've ever had in my mouth. And really, it wouldn't even be the worst thing I've ever done. Overall, it isn't anywhere near as bad as torturing souls, right?"
Sam looked scandalized at the mere thought of it. Dean was sort of surprised that Sam could still pull the look off, given everything that they had both seen and done in the past few years.
"Dude, I'm not letting you... Do you have any idea how many sexually transmitted diseases I've had?"
"Well, I was there for the syphilis with pestilence, and I don't think that the herpes with Gabriel was actually real. And you got treated for the crap that the poker dude gave you. Am I missing any?"
Sam glared at Dean in response, so Dean simply grinned back at him.
"You are not swallowing my junk," Sam snapped defensively.
"Who said anything about deep-throating? I'm good with just a blowjob, or I could lick my hand off or something. I just need a few of your swimmers.
I've probably already got whatever else you got floating around in you anyway, what with all the power interrupting blood swallowing.
No, no swimmer swallowing. I mean it, Dean. You aren't doing this. Do you have any idea what will happen to you if we do this?
From what I'm told, I get to be epically terrifying and tied to you for all eternity. Given that we seem destined to share the same space in heaven, the eternity thing isn't exactly a shock.
Sam frowned at him. Don't joke about this. You don't want to be my lover, and I don't share well. And this power isn't something I'd wish on anybody.
Dean frowned right back at his brother. He wasn't completely comfortable with the idea of being Sam's one true love or anything, but he also was pretty aware that they had a habit of taking brotherly devotion to extremes. Lisa had pointed out to Dean that normal brothers don't sell their souls to bring their little brothers back from the dead. Apparently, normal brothers would get drunk and angry and maybe go murder the bastards that killed their sibling, but damning themselves to hell wasn't a typical response. At the time, he was kind of kicking himself for telling her the story of Sam literally getting stabbed in the back. But now that he'd had time to ponder the whole binding himself to Sam thing, he could see that she sort of had a point. Logically, he should be kicking up a way bigger fuss at the thought of basically marrying Sam by way of an oral sex act. He should be standing up and protesting something, instead of letting his dick stand up and protest the denim of his jeans. It should have taken more than a couple nights of heavy drinking to adjust his worldview to include providing conjugal rights to his Sammy. Dean opened his mouth to inform Sam about his epiphany of their maybe-not-so-normal behavior toward each other, but his brain got in the way of the message. What came out was a terse, "Who told you I didn't want to be your lover?" Sam looked at Dean like he was possessed. Then Dean felt a literal tug inside his mind. It pissed him off all over again, and he was about to berate Sam for using his dangerous mind powers when the tugging sensation stopped.
"Well, you're not possessed," Sam mumbled.
"No, we got tattoos to take care of that," Dean grumbled.
"So you want to fuck me?"
Sam's tone was challenging and defiant. Dean wasn't stupid enough to answer that question. He'd lived with Lisa for almost a year. He'd gotten good at recognizing trick questions. Sam might be a girl, but he didn't actually have ovaries, and he would never have anything on a real woman.
"I want to be with you in this," Dean answered instead.
Sam bolted from the car. Dean sighed and slouched back in the driver's seat. At least it had gone better than anticipated.
"How'd it go?" Bobby asked as soon as Dean got back to their room.
"Great. He's sworn off the mental manipulation, but it's kind of a no-go on the seed-sharing bit right now," Dean answered bluntly. Bobby blanched a little, but didn't reach for the half-empty bottle of whiskey on the nightstand. Dean figured it was just another sign that maybe he and Sam were gay and just didn't know it. He was pretty sure that father figures weren't supposed to accept the idea of their pseudo-children having gay sex with each other. They definitely were not supposed to accept it so quickly.
"He's still around?" Bobby's voice was a touch more strained, but not that much.
"Yeah, Jess is pretty much bird-dogging him right now. They've got a room about four doors down from here." Bobby grunted in acknowledgement.
"Maybe we should move this back to my place. No sense wasting money renting out rooms here. Your mutt is going to get tired of being kenneled."
Dean looked disbelievingly at Bobby.
"You're offering up your place for our wedding night?"
Bobby flushed a bit and squinted his eyes at Dean.
"I figured that's what the Impala's for."
And yeah, Dean can admit that he isn't the classiest guy in the world, and he can maybe even cop to the fact that he might love his car a little too much. But he's pretty sure that it would be tacky to have his first time with Sam be in the back of the Impala. There is too much history there. There's been blood and guts and harsh words shared in that car. Plus, Sam is not Anna. There are all sorts of logistical issues with two men over 6 feet tall trying to have sex in the back seat of a car. Even if the car is a classic and has a large back seat, neither Sam nor Dean are as flexible as they were when they were teenagers. Granted, Dean knows that the only thing that he really needs to do is get Sam off and then swallow the evidence. He just doesn't think he should treat their first time as some sort of clinical sex experiment or some twisted duty to the universe.
"I'm so gay,"
Dean groaned as he reviewed the path that his brain had just taken. "Aw, don't take it so hard. You're actually more of a pervert." Bobby's consolation didn't sound sincere for some reason, and Dean thought that was unfair given that Bobby had no idea what Dean had just been thinking.
"I hate you." "Cheer up, son. You've screwed an angel and more women than I've ever thought of hitting on. Sam's done God knows what with Ruby, and that's before the whole blood-drinking mess. I'm thinking this might be a good thing for the two of you."
"Have you been smoking something? Cass didn't bring back some of the good stuff from his trip to Boise, did he?"
"I'm going to ignore the fact that you think Boise would be the place to score really good weed, in favor of the fact that you boys get addicted to much worse things."
Sam gets addicted to bad things," Dean corrected.
"Yeah, and you're addicted to Sam. It all makes sense in some strange and bizarre way, if I ignore the fact that I actually know the two of you," Bobby said.
"Sam doesn't think so."
"Sam's an idiot who was playing demigod with his newfound superpowers. Plus, he's a Winchester, and your family isn't known for their brains so much."
"There's a reason you're insulting me.
Keeps me from imagining how whipped you're going to be once Sam lets you in his pants,"
Bobby answered bluntly. Dean didn't respond to that with anything other than an irritated stomp into the motel room's tiny bathroom and a slam of the cheap door that separated it from the sleeping area. Because Bobby wasn't right, Dean was pretty sure he'd been whipped for years.
Oh, God, yes!
The chanting woke Dean up out of a sound sleep. His first thought was that Bobby had a lot of nerve calling him a pervert when the old codger had brought a girl back to the motel room that he was sharing with his sort of son-like person. His second thought was a begrudging, "Go, Bobby," because, well, Bobby deserved a little happiness. His third thought was that Bobby sure was snoring a lot for a guy that was currently moaning like a $2 whore. So, the sex noises weren't Bobby's. That was actually kind of a relief, as Dean's cock was pushing up against the seam of his boxers as a result of the porn dialogue that was going on in Dean's head. That was when Dean came awake enough to realize that the sex noises were, literally, in his head, and not coming in by way of his eardrums. The noises also sounded a lot like Sam. It didn't take a veteran hunter to figure out that he was somehow mystically hearing Sam's whatevers. It also didn't take a private eye to figure out that Sam was alone with Jess. Dean's vision went from seeing red to green and back to red again as he flip-flopped between anger and jealousy. How dare they? Sam was his. There shouldn't be any hanky-panky going on. If Dean wasn't allowed a gay freakout, then Sam sure as hell wasn't either. Sam could keep it in his pants. And Jess. Jess knew how it was supposed to be. She shouldn't be in there giving his... Oh, God, Dean! Sam's tingly lust and want practically flooded over Dean and shorted out his train of thought. Okay, so either Sam was being a total douche and thinking about Dean while having sex with his ex-girlfriend, or Sam was being a total douche and jerking off in the same motel room as his ex-girlfriend while thinking about his brother. Dean preferred the second option more. He also needed to know. He might not have a right to know, given that Sam had been fairly adamant about the whole not letting Dean bind them together thing, but Dean had never been that into technicalities. They were cosmically fated to be together or something stupid like that. As far as Dean was concerned, cosmic fating was just as good as an engagement, and you didn't go screwing around on your intended without paying for it. Plus, he was already awake and horny thanks to Sam's sex thoughts. The only other options were jerking off and actually contemplating the fact that he could hear his brother's thoughts in his head, or not jerking off and contemplating his weird psychic bond with his brother while being sexually frustrated. So, investigating what exactly Sam was up to was the obvious choice. Jess probably wasn't going to be happy about it, but Dean figured if she was post-coital, then she deserved to have her afterglow ruined. She knew that Sam was his. If she was sleeping, well, he'd just have to buy her a latte or something to apologize. It turned out that he didn't have to interrupt Jess at all, as she was actually leaning up against the door to her motel room when he made it down the walkway. The thought that she had stepped out while Sam had his way with another woman crossed Dean's mind, but he didn't figure Jess to be the type to be sexiled so that Sam could get it on. At least, she wouldn't do it willingly, but given Sam's freak powers, she might have had to go without her consent. "Hey, Dean," Jess greeted when he got close. "Hey," Dean said in return, his eyes glancing pointedly at the door. "He's kind of loud," Jess said with a roll of her eyes.
"And his partner?"
Dean forced himself to ask in as manly and non-judgmental a tone as possible.
"Partner?" Jess sounded confused. "For, you know,"
Dean made a vaguely lewd hand gesture.
"He's sleeping. You have to know how loud he gets when he's dreaming, and you should know better than to think he's going around knocking boots with somebody that isn't you."
Jess paused and frowned. "Wait, how did you know that he was enjoying himself?"
Hey, why don't you just go back to my room and stay with Bobby tonight? I'm sure that this is awkward for you."
The look on Jess's face was one of disbelief.
"I was with Sam for a while, you know. I've heard worse than that."
"Actually, I've heard sex dreams worse than that. He tends to get horny when he's holding out." Dean knew bait being trolled by him when he saw it. There was no way that he was going to ask about the whole Sam holding out thing. Of course, that could just be because he was experiencing Sam holding out on him, or announcing his intent to hold out on him, should he make an attempt, and he just didn't want to know if it was a pattern.
"You trying to tell me that you have no issues with staying in the same hotel room with your ex-boyfriend, who is mystically engaged to his older brother, and is having dreams so loud that he wakes you up and sends you out of your room in the middle of the night?"
he challenged her instead. "I think it was his faded love story with you that really sealed the deal. After that, things just don't seem as strange anymore."
"I'm not bribing you,"
Dean said with an even stare and a jerk of his thumb in the direction of his room. Jess crossed her arms across her chest. "He begged me not to leave him with you."
"And if I'm going to prevent him from causing mayhem and keep his brain intact, I need to get in there for a little alone time with him, so scram."
Jess rolled her eyes and held her hand out to Dean. "Sam is going to kick my ass for selling him out when I didn't even get anything in return." Dean slapped his room key into her palm.
"He's going to get orgasms. They're the gift that keeps on giving, and healthy for him, too."
"You're disgusting," Jess said as she handed over her own key.
Dean grinned at her. "I know,